when peace like a river ascendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
As I said, I'm glad that I have a testimony to tell tonight. I'm by no means a public speaker of any sort, so you'll have to bear with me, and I hope you can all pick up my Lurgan slang from time to time. A lot of people give me a lot of abuse down at Belfast, the guys I live with, because they can't make out a lot of the stuff I'm saying, but hopefully it'll all make a bit of sense to you tonight anyway. Basically, I was born into a Christian family, which was a real blessing. My mum and dad faithfully sent me along to church every week. We started off in the Methodist church. My mum and dad always attended the Methodist church. But some things happened with the church, and mum and dad decided it was time to move on. They decided to look for somewhere else to go, and so I started attending Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church. And it was there that mum and dad sent me along every week to Sunday school. We went to church every morning and night, and I was sent along to the kids' midweek meeting, which we call the Beeline at home. And so I had a good grounding in the Word of God. I knew from an early age what it was that I needed to do to get right with Christ. And even during the times here in the summer, as I've already said, Mum and Dad would have brought me up to Coleraine. We spent a lot of time. We've got a caravan in Port Stewart, and Mum and Dad would have brought us up for most of the summer. We spent our summers here. We were quite a poor family, so we never went away on any exclusive holidays at all. Our holidays were spent in Port Stewart Strand, but we loved it. So I spent a lot of the time here in the church in Coleraine, and I've still got to this day some of the wee attendance cards at home, which Melville's wee red stamps is on, in comparison to the sign and in sheet we had at home. But it was good. I got taught about God and the need of my Saviour from a young age. And at the age of six, I was at Sunday school one day. It was actually April Fool's Day, 1st of April 1990. And the Sunday school teacher that day was telling us the Easter story. About Christ going to die on the cross for us. And I remember coming home from Sunday school that day, and I said to Mum and my dad, I said, look, I really want to become a Christian. And I remember them both sitting with me in the living room at home, praying together. And I asked the Lord into my heart that night, asked him into my heart and to come into my life. But I suppose, you know, with being so young, I didn't really totally grasp what Christianity was all about. For me, growing up, Christianity was about saying that prayer. Christianity was about me saying the prayer, which meant that I didn't go to hell, that I was going to go to heaven, and that if I kept certain rules, I would keep God on my side. And for me, that was all Christianity was. And to be honest, it wasn't much of an existence at all. And I moved schools. After primary school, I moved to a school at home called the Lurgan Junior High. We've got a thing at home called the Dixon Plan. Where basically we don't do 11 plus, which was good for people like me who aren't the brightest. But basically I moved to the school at junior high, and I fell in with the wrong company. I fell in with the wrong crowd, and I fell in with guys who really started introducing me to things which really made me struggle in my life, made me struggle right through my life, even still do sometimes to this day. And it really just showed me, you know, just that Satan really can get a hold of you, you know, when you're a young age, and how important it is just to try and stay away from that. And that's a big regret of mine, was that I got involved with the wrong guys at such a young age. And I moved on to the next school, Lurgan College, and things really started to pick up a bit, because there I got into the right company, so to speak. I was hanging about with Christian people. I was going along to the Scripture Union in the college. I became the praise leader there eventually. But, you know, my life was kind of lived very hypocritically. I was on the outside, I was this person who had it all sorted. On the outside, I was hanging about with all these Christian people. I was involved in the Scripture Union. But deep inside, I still wasn't letting go of the world. Deep inside, I was still hanging on to the things that me and all the guys really were doing in the school before. And even as I went to university, things didn't really pick up much. My second year at university was a time when I really turned away from God. I continued to put on the whole front of going along to the Christian meetings, of doing the right thing, so to speak, but my life just inwardly was just rotting away. I wasn't spending time with God. I didn't see the need to pray. I didn't see the need to read His Word. And really, things just weren't going well at all. And it was during that year, that second year, that God really started to work with me. God, for some reason, decided to call me to serve Him that summer. Something which I'd never really thought about doing before. And how it happened was, one of the guys I was living with in my second year of university, I was living in with quite a good bunch of Christian fellas. And one of them came to me and he'd said, David, there's a guy who came to speak at my church. He's actually a guy from Port Stewart called Douglas Mark. And he's involved with the Open Doors Ministry. And he had been talking that night about open doors and the need to be working with the persecuted church and the need to be getting the Bibles into the different countries. And he asked me that night, he said, would you be interested in coming with me this summer to go to Cuba? Because I really feel that this is where God has me to be. And I said to him, I said, right, Ian, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll think about it and I'll pray about it and I'll get back to you. But the way that my life was, I did neither of those. I neither thought about it that much because I'd already made my mind up that I wasn't going to be doing any of it. I didn't want to do it at all. And a couple of months passed, Ian never came back to me at all about it. And a couple of months passed, and I went to church service at home in Lurgan. And there was a man there that night, he was a missionary from India. And he was there, and he was talking about the need to get the different Bibles into the Word of God into different countries, and just how important that was for some people. And he made an appeal at the end for some people to really get involved with this, for some people to really give this to God as an act of service. And I kind of thought there's no way that this is something that I would do. And I asked for people to stand up, you know, if you really wanted to do this. And my pride took over and I said, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not standing up in front of all these people. They'll think I'm an idiot. But basically I sat there and I prayed to God and I said, God, if you want to use me, if this is something you want to do, then you really have to show me because I'm not going to do something like this without you showing me. And that night I went back up to Belfast and for the first time in 2 months, Ian asked me again about going to Cuba. Ian said to me, he said, Dave, have you thought any more about going to Cuba? And I said, Ian, to be honest, I haven't. But I sincerely will now start thinking about it. And that night I went into my room and I prayed to God and I said, God, I don't really know what's going on here. But if you would you please show me? Show me something that that is going to say that this is of you. And I suppose I did the wrong thing. I was like Gideon, I laid the fleece out before God. And I said to God, I really wanted a big sign. And for me, this was a big sign. I asked God to wake me up early the next morning. And for the guys that live with me in halls, they would be able to tell you that was something big because I always slept through my alarm and I always missed the first class at university. And the guys sometimes had to come in and turn my alarm off and thump me to wake me up because I hadn't been hearing it. And I prayed to God, I said, look, if you have something to say to me, please, will you wake me up the next morning early and show me something from your word? And I went to sleep not expecting much. And I remember I sat up straight in the bed wide awake at 6 a.m. the next morning. And I kind of thought, what's going on? I was a wee bit frightened, to be honest. And I opened the Bible, it was in Proverbs, and there was a verse there which really spoke to me and really challenged me about going to serve God and be making the most of my time for Him. And I still said to myself, this is just a coincidence. This isn't God, this is just something that's happening. But God showed me over the next couple of days, I was at another couple of Christian meetings and just what people were speaking on, just different verses. God really showed me clearly that He wanted me to go to Cuba. And to be honest, my life still really didn't improve much with God after that, much to my shame. But God in His mercy brought me to Cuba and started doing great things. God took me out there and taught me a lot of good things from the people out in Cuba. I'm not going to speak for long about Cuba because I just want to hopefully be able just to share with just a wee bit from the Bible as well. But basically, Cuba in brief. And I've got some photographs there at the end. If any of you are interested in seeing photographs of Cuba, you can come and take a look at them. And I won't be offended if none of you do, because I hate looking at other people's photographs. It's pretty boring. But if any of you are interested, you can take a look, all right. Basically, my first experience of Cuba when I arrived, we had all these Bibles in our suitcases. I had 2 T-shirts with me for a fortnight, so you can imagine how stinking I was by the end of it. And we had our Bibles, our suitcases full of Bibles. We had Christian literature with us. We had medication for the Christians out there and clothes and so on. And I was there with 2 other guys. And I got stopped by the customs officers and officers on the way in. And my suitcase had a big X on it and the word literature written on it. And they stopped me and they opened my suitcase and they found the Bibles. And that should have been it. But much to the amazement of myself, God really worked, and the customs officer actually packed my suitcase for me again and sent me on the way. So we got the Bibles through safely. There was a hurricane there that time as well. We were there in the hurricane season. Hurricane Ivan was about. And it was quite rainy at times. I didn't come home with much of a tan. But the weather was really bad. But, you know, then when I was there in Cuba, God really started just showing me, you know, His power. God really started showing me just what He can do, just through the different people that we're meeting. Just one of the stories I'll tell you about was the Cubans, the pastors, they're not allowed to have their own church buildings, basically. So what they have to do is their small houses, they have to convert half of them into a church house, almost for people to come along to. And one of these pastors was a guy called Moses, and he lived up at the top of this mountain, which we couldn't take a car. We had hired a car to go about the area, and we couldn't get the car up, so we had to go for a hike up this mountain. And he lived at the top of it, about 2 or 3 miles away from the village where all his congregation came from. And when we were there, he was telling us that he had the idea from God that basically the church was in the wrong place, that the church needed to be down in the village with the people. But to do that, he couldn't just go and buy another building because the Cubans wouldn't allow him to do that. He had to sell his house and he had to go and buy another one. But the house that they'd seen in the village was $400. And basically we had been given a lot of money to bring over with us. And we were giving it out to the different pastors and stuff over there just to be using with our church buildings. And we'd already been to a few people that day and we didn't have much left. And he said that different teams that had come over in the past had given him money, and together those teams had given him collectively $50, and he needed $400 to buy this house. So he told us, he said, look, we need $350, and we went outside and we got all our wallets and we counted out, all of us together, was exactly $350, and we brought it into him, and I've never seen a grown man weep as much as I've seen him weep. It was just a real answer to prayer for him, just seeing that this man had been fasting and praying for this, for God to work in his life and to bring them along the money that they needed, even just to work in the situation. And here was their answer to prayer. And it was just amazing just to be part of that. It was a real humbling experience. And just seeing, you know, the love that they had for God. Another one of the pastors who was kind of like a tour guide for us, Pastor Omar, he always got up at 5 o'clock every morning to spend at least 3 hours in prayer with God. And he said that he just couldn't get through the day without it. He couldn't survive against the attacks of Satan on his life. He couldn't work effectively for God without spending that time with his Father. And he loved doing it. He told us that he just loved getting up to spend that time with God in the morning because he was just so passionate about his Father. And even the people that went to the church, you know, because it was the rainy season, we sometimes drove past. Some of them, we couldn't give them all a lift. Walking 2-3 miles in the pouring rain just to get to church because they wanted to fellowship together. They wanted to meet and they wanted to hear from God. And, you know, it really made me think sometimes that I complain about driving 2 minutes down the road sometimes just to go to church. And these people, you know, just their whole lives were just lived out completely for God. And there's so many more stories. I could sit and talk for ages about it. I could talk for hours. And if any of you want to ask anything about the end, I'll gladly tell you more about it. But really, you know, when I was out in Cuba, the Christians over there, the people that I met, really made me start to question what I was doing with God, what my life was all about, what was I doing with this thing called Christianity. For me, as I said, that it was just, you know, saying that prayer and living by these guidelines. But for these people, they had such a joy and they had such a passion. And it was confusing for me, you know, to sit and ask about that. And, you know, when the world asks, you know, what is a Christian, the world can be confused sometimes because, you know, we in the Christian faith, we're so diverse with all our denominations and things that compared to other religions. But, you know, when we're asking ourselves, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And what I noticed in Cuba was that we in the developed world have just got so much wrong, where they have just got so much right. For them, being a Christian is just that they're so passionate about the person of Jesus Christ. They're so passionate about serving him. Christianity was their life, and it just consumed everything about them. All the things that they did through the day was just focused on God completely. But, you know, for us, I know for me over here, and I know for a lot of people in Northern Ireland, Christianity can just be a label. It's just something that you label yourself as. You know, people say, well, tell us something about yourself, and you'll say, oh, I go to such and such a church. I belong to such and such a congregation. And Christianity is something that you'll come along to church on a Sunday. And I know for me, that's what it was. I came to church on a Sunday, and the rest of the week, I really didn't care much about it. But, you know, we in the Bible show so clearly that we've got to get our identity in Christ. And tonight I just want you to turn just quickly to Mark's Gospel. This is something that God really spoke to me with lately. And I just want to take a few minutes just to really talk through just a few of the things from this passage. It's Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at the verse 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went, that's Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go on into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze around the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. But he was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You know, when we're reading through this passage, one of the things that I really first noticed when I was really thinking about this, you know, what it was to be a Christian, was just when we're looking at the example of Christ, if we are calling ourselves Christians, you know, followers of Christ and followers of his example, what were the things that Christ did that made his life so perfect? And the first thing that really struck me, you know, from this passage and in so many others, was just this intimacy with the Father. You read here in verse 35 about how Christ departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed, and it was a good bit before day had come. This was something that Christ did. This was God incarnate, and he himself knew how essential it was to be spending time alone with God. And this was something that really has been challenging me. Something that really challenged me in my time in Cuba was just, you know, what is my intimacy like with the Father? What am I doing with Jesus Christ? And as I said to you before, Christianity was just the prayer for me. It was just trying to live out these rules, but I didn't have this intimacy with God. I didn't have this relationship. And you know, God has ordained for us to have life. Christ said that he came that we might have life, and we might have it in its fullness. And you know, I'm asking myself, I'm saying to myself, like, how am I going to get this life in its fullness? And I know so much that the only way that I can really get it is through this full and intimate relationship with God. And it's something that has really challenged me, and it's something that I hope can challenge you, is that no matter how far on in the Christian life you are, it's something that you have to consider, is what is your relationship like with God? And you know the old cliche, you've probably heard it a lot before, and a lot of people have said it to me, how can you be in a relationship with someone that you don't really speak to, or you don't allow them to speak to you? And your quiet times alone with God are so important. Your time studying in the Word is so important. I know that that's something that God's been showing to me. It's something that I still need to work on a lot. And being honest about that is something I really do need to work on. Our time spent in prayer is so important. And the Cubans saw this. The Cubans, when I was there, they were so passionate about the Bible. They were just dying to get it. When we brought it to them, they probably would have separated it into maybe different books of the Bible and took it about and sat and read it maybe in a couple of days and then shared it around more and more. But, you know, I had to ask myself, well, why was Satan so desperate to stop them getting the Bible? Why was he so desperate to try and block us from bringing it in? And it is so easy to see. It's just that our time in the Word is so important. And I know that that probably sounds just like you've heard that before. And I know it's something that loads of people have spoke to me before about. But it's something that I think we all need to honestly sit and consider. Are we spending time in the Word? I mean, here, the devil, he won't block us from getting the Bible. It's not as if our country's there at that stage at the moment, but the devil has got other things, subtle ways of stopping us from getting to the Word. The desires that we have, maybe different things that we do, maybe the likes of our sports, watching the TV, our friends and our family. And don't get me wrong, those things, I love my friends and I love my family. I love hanging out with them all. I love playing a bit of sport. I'm not saying that those things are bad in any way, but Satan has put such a big emphasis on them now that, to be honest, they've just taken over a priority in our lives. God has gone to the back burner. And our intimacy and our time with God is just, you know, it's completely gone to the side. And I know to my shame, there's been loads of times when I kind of thought, right, I could be sitting spending time with God. But I've gone and I've done other things. Maybe gone and done things with the lads down in Belfast. Gone and done different things. Even getting involved in the work of God. You know, sometimes Satan can get us so busy in the work of God that we don't even get to spend time on our own with the Father. And, you know, that's one way that Satan will really try and nullify us. We have to be spending time in the Word. It's essential. And no matter who you are, you've got to realize that. There was a fact that I heard there recently. Someone had said to me that, and I don't know how they calculated this, but they said that apparently only 7% of all Christians in the world read their Bible every day. And that's a really shocking fact. You know, especially I'd say that a good majority of that is made up of the people in the developing world, the people who are being persecuted, who for them the Bible is just everything that they have. And you know, we have to get to that place. And maybe you are a type of person that intimacy is something that's, it is quite easy, is something that's good for you. And that's brilliant, and be encouraged that, God is pleased with that. But you know, I want to take a look at the other side of the coin, so to speak, because while the intimacy with God is so important and is essential, Jesus did other things as well. And you see there in the passage that, you know, Simon and those that were with him came to seek Jesus. And he said unto them in verse 38, he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And we know in this passage that Jesus went into the synagogues and he was preaching. And Jesus went about different areas and he was preaching to all those he met. But you know, Jesus just didn't stay in the synagogues. Jesus just didn't stay in the church buildings. Jesus went out and he was impacting on the world around him. And this is something that maybe a lot of you are better at, maybe than the intimacy. Maybe some of you are better at the intimacy part than actually doing this. But Jesus went out and he wanted to impact on the people around him. He catered definitely for the spiritual needs, because that was what he came for. That was his mission, to come and save, to seek and to save those that were lost. But as you see in this passage, when you see about the leper in verse 40, or in verse 41, and Jesus, he was moved with compassion and he healed his physical needs. And you know, we have to be helping those people in our world with their physical needs as well. You can see it in other places in the New Testament that God went out, or Jesus went out, and he was mixing with the people that a society said, you know, they weren't the people to be hanging out with. You know, when this was a leper, we think of the prostitute who was about to be stoned. But Jesus went and he had great compassion for her. He went over, and you know the passage when he said to the people, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." We know of the little tiny tax collector who, for the world, in the world's eyes, was just an absolute scum of the earth. But Jesus went and hung out with him and had tea with him. We think of the adulterous Samaritan, who Jesus went and met all her needs and told her about her life and took time aside to go and speak to her. And we know that Jesus went and healed loads of people and helped for them and catered for their physical needs. And he really did go out and impact on the world around him. And this is something that I know for myself as a Christian, and I know than so many other Christians that I know, that just kind of leave this stuff to the unchurched almost. They kind of think that, you know, helping people like homeless people, helping people who are sick, helping people who are hungry, that's something, you know, for the unchurched. We just need to sit and preach to them. And don't get me wrong, we do need to preach to them, because the state of their soul, that whether they have salvation or not, is the most important thing. But, you know, we also need to be helping them in their physical needs as well. I wonder, as you're going to maybe about Belfast, I go about Belfast quite a bit because I live down there now, and you maybe see the people selling like the big issue. Do you walk past them and treat them like the rejects, like society's just labelled them with? Or do you actually go and maybe try and talk to them and just make friends with them? I know when I was down at university, I got to get quite friendly with one of them. His name was Jim. And it was brilliant. I was able to, you know, just go and maybe buy him some food and just give it to him and just sit and chat with him and get hanging out with him, just to get to hear his life story. It was just something special. And through that, through being friends with him and through interacting with him, I was able then to start talking to him about God. Now, Jim had a serious lung condition, and he hasn't been about in his local spot lately, where he usually sells a big issue, and I don't know whether he's died or not. But, you know, they're real people. When you see the people here sitting in the street and they've no food, like, do you want to go and help and give them some food? Or are you just going to give them a tract, which is good for them, it'll help them with their spiritual need, but are you actually going to go and give them some food as well? Because Christ has said, whatever you do unto the least of one of these, you do unto me. If you see someone that's naked, go and clothe them, because you're doing it for me. If you see someone that's hungry, go and give them food, because you're doing it unto me. And you know, when we're thinking about what a Christian is, I wonder if you got the balance between those two, because some of us are really so set on studying the Word of God, but we don't really want to go and exercise what we've learned. We try to take in so much food, daily bread almost, without exercising it, that we're becoming spiritually obese almost. We're just sitting there and we're taking in so much from God, but we don't want to do much about it. And I wonder, are you one of these people who goes out and tries to do so much for God without spending time getting to know the Father first? Because as you see here in Mark, Jesus went and spent time alone with God first. And even when Simon came, he sent them on into the village and he says, I'll come and I'll preach. But he kept spending time with God. And I wonder, you're one of those people who, like me, went out and trying to say, oh, I'm going to do great things for the kingdom. I'm going to do great things for God. But I didn't know God. I didn't know him at all. And if we are to be light to this world, we need to be getting lit up and we need to be getting fueled by God every day. And the only way we can do that is through the Word. And you know, with the Cuban Christians, they really did show this. There were people who loved spending time with God, but there were people who, despite what it meant for them, despite the persecution that they faced, were going and preaching and going evangelizing to the communist people around them. They didn't care. They went out and they told their neighbors about God. And you know, it was amazing to see the revival that's happening over there in the evangelical churches. For a long time, Roman Catholicism has been the main faith out there. That's, it kind of goes hand in hand with the communist regime out there. They allow the Roman Catholics to have their religion. But there's been a great revival out there with the Word of God being really preached forth in the churches. And that's really been because they've been praying to God. They've been asking for him to come and work. They've been spending time in their own personal lives. And then after that, they've been going out and actually doing something about it. They've been going and helping people that they live near. Going and helping people with their needs. And through that, getting the witness to them. And they really were a great example to us. But, you know, really they themselves were just following the example of Christ. Because he is the one that we follow. We don't follow what man does. And Christ has done this. And he's laid it so clearly for us to see. That the intimacy with God is vital. But it's so vital as well for us not to sit in our churches, not to sit in here and wait for the world to come into us. Because the world is getting further and further away from the church. The world, at the stage it is now, just doesn't want anything to do with the church. The church is boring to it. The church is irrelevant to it. And we need to go out and impact them. We need to go out and interact with them. And it's a challenge that I'll leave with you all, old and young. That in your workplace, in your school place, in your university, in your everyday lives, spend time with God. And that's a challenge to me too, because I know that that's something that I really need to improve on big style. It's just my time with God. I need to be devoting more and more to it. But also be spending time trying to witness to those people around you, but also be helping their physical needs. If you know a friend that needs help with something, go and do it and show the love of Christ to that person. And through that, we can be really great examples. Just before I close, I just want to ask you just to pray for the Cubans. I got an email there recently. It was last week. Just I got an email to say that the government really have been tightening even more on the regulations that they have against them. The church buildings that I was telling you about in their homes, they now have to apply to the government for it. And if the government don't pass it, you can't use your house as a church. And basically, you have no church building. And I would basically guess that the majority of those applications that will be going on will be turned down because they don't want to see the church growing. And they're being restricted to, I think it's 2 or 3 meetings a week. And that includes both Sunday services. So if you take those aside, you're only allowed one of the meeting a week. And basically they had, when I was out there, they were having meetings every night of the week. They just loved being able to spend time, you know, with each other in fellowship and getting the meeting here from the Word of God. And that's something that can really challenge us as well. You know, do we look forward to coming to God's house? Do we look forward to hearing from God's Word? Do we like to encourage each other, or do we like to try and discourage each other? Because sometimes I'm not too certain. Christians can be very discouraging to each other. I know that I've, in the past, have probably been discouraging the people, but it's time that we really, you know, need to be united. It's time that we really need to be working forward and moving forward, because Satan is coming at this world bolder and bolder because he knows his days are short. And we need to be united in our effort. We need to be standing forward together and really proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord to these people and showing it in a practical way and then showing them their need of Christ as well. But please, could you pray for the Cubans? No, don't play for them. They don't have a football team yet. But if you could pray for them, that would be great, please. I got an email there just last week about it, just asking if I could tell everyone that I met just about it. So that's something I really ask you to do. We'll just close in prayer. And again, if any of you want to see any pictures of Cuba, they're there. There for you to see. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here, Lenny. It's been brilliant. I was a wee bit nervous about coming because I don't usually do stuff like